Well, it's 7 o'clock, and do I hear a motion to begin the meeting?
Motion to begin the meeting.
Thank you, Commissioner Bevel. Here, second.
I'll second it.
All right, and we start with the Pledge of Allegiance and then a moment of silence.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
And then in preschool, we say, salute to the truth.
All right.
Does anybody know that's how it's not written?
Yes.
Yes.
Moment of silence. Prayer, please. Okay. Is there anybody in the audience that has anything they want to bring up? No. All right. Well, thank you for all showing up. It's so much nicer when we have a few people in here. All right. First thing after that is, did everybody read over the minutes?
Yes, sir.
Have any corrections at all? All right. If there's no comments or corrections, do I hear a motion to accept the minutes as they are?
I'll make a motion to accept the minutes.
Thank you, Commissioner Hall. Do I hear a second?
Second.
Thank you, Commissioner Bevel. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? All right, unanimous. All right. City financials. Everybody got distributed the city financials. Was there any questions or any comments? They're doing a great job. Consistent. All right. Do I hear a motion to accept the financial reports for August?
I'll make a motion to accept.
All right. Thank you, Commissioner Metcalf. Do I hear a second?
I'll second it.
Thank you, Commissioner Campbell. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All right, all opposed, and all right. City Attorney's report.
Okay, a few things. We need to judge our Kentucky League of Cities in relation to ordinance 1 of this year. The city has to pass a resolution. You all have copies of this? So I see nothing wrong with it. I'd like to be prepared, so I guess you guys need to vote on this.
Well, it's got to be read.
Okay.
Public or read?
See, well, it's not an ordinance.
Well.
In fact, I couldn't find resolution in statute, but he has made.
It only takes one, though, I can tell you that.
Kind of legal cities is smarter than that. A resolution authorizing the city of Woodland Hills to enter into a franchise agreement with Spectrum Mid-America LLC, granting a 10-year non-exclusive franchise for a communication system within the city limits of the city of Woodland Hills. Whereas by Ordinance 1, Series 2020, the City of Worthington Hills created a 10-year non-exclusive franchise for a communication system within the city limits of the City of Worthington Hills. And whereas the City of Worthington Hills offered a bid at bid a non-exclusive communications franchise pursuant to Ordinance 1, Series 2020. Whereas Spectrum in America, LLC, her and after charter, has submitted a bid for a communications franchise in accordance with the terms and conditions reflected in Ordinance 1, Series 2020, and whereas the City of Woodland Hills has reviewed Charter's bid and wishes to grant a non-exclusive communications franchise to Charter by entering into a franchise agreement with the company, now therefore be resolved by the City Commission of the City of Woodland Hills that the Mayor is hereby requested and authorized to enter into a franchise agreement with Charter for a 10-year non-exclusive franchise, the terms of which are subject to the provisions of Ordinance Number 1, Series 20. So resolved this 15th day of September 2020.
Okay. Now, on here, it says we have to have a roll call vote or a name vote. And the first one on the list is Commissioner Metcalf.
Yes.
Commissioner Campbell.
Yes.
Commissioner Deville.
Yes, if you'll spell my name right.
That's correct.
Oh, well, I'll fix it. I got to fix it anyhow. Okay. And Commissioner Hall.
Yes.
All right. Small yeas, I'll get that taken care of. Get it filled out. Here is the official bid that JCLCCC, this is the paperwork they gave us on the bid. So they did the bid process for us.
There's only one bid on this series.
Well, it's not exclusive.
Okay.
Okay. They put it out. We've got some other cable companies working in the area, so, and they're working on them.
Very good. Okay. A couple things are going on. Mayor Stoneman is concerned that the city isn't getting all the taxes from.
Can you speak up a little bit?
Both the improvements in the land valuations. And so I've been doing a lot of work on this, and I emailed just before I left my office. I went home and changed, but I emailed three different PDA documents plus the document that shows 1, 2, and 3, the condominium regimes. Bob, I think, put this together. You've got Trez here, you've got 2, which is Bay Garden Court, and 3, you've got East Bay. So if you look at the 3 PDA documents that I printed and sent everyone, there is one on East Bay Court, there's one on Caswell, and there's one on Bay Garden Court. Those are streets within the condominium regimes. And each one of these, there is no land assessment value, but there's improvement values. So that is the way that is. Now, I've been going through this in my mind, and this makes sense. I think the thing, and Linda, or Bev, was very kind just before I left my office to send me the text. There's 2 different text documents that reflect all the properties in your assessed values. Neither one of them assesses land and improvements. It's just the total value of the property plus the different incremental payments that are due on time, September, October. So I think the thing I'm next going to look at, if anybody's curious, is to go through those 2 schedules and to see if there's any properties. It wouldn't be a specific address. It would be probably in the name of an entity as opposed to an individual that hopefully would just show a land value, not improvement value. So that's where we might pick up the information on who's being taxed for the land. Now, and I'll tell you this, you know, these tax laws and the condominium regime laws and all of the laws that affect real property and the taxes, this has been going on since the inception and the formation of the state of Kentucky, from a colony to a state. So they know what they're doing. They have a duty to make sure that they get all of the taxes that are due. So I think at the end of the day, we're going to see that we're getting all the taxes that we have due. So the next thing I'll do is look at those schedules to see if there are any entities that are just being taxed for value of land and see if it's connected to these 3 condominium parcels. If anybody has any questions, I'll move on.
Well, I have
a question.
All right.
And I think I had sent it to you in an email. The condominium in the subdivision and over at East Bay, those are standalone condominiums. They are on a lot.
Right.
Each of those buildings is on its own individual lot. Do those people pay taxes just like Carol would pay taxes on her house, on her lot? Do they pay taxes on the lot that they're on?
Just the improvements.
That's
just the improvements. Condominium regime's statutory law says that condominium owners just own the improvements. They do not own the land that is below those buildings. And that's why, if you look at these 3 tax bills, there are no assessments for land for the individual unit owners. So that's why I said I'm going to next look at the tax documents that Linda sent me, which is based, those are created for creating tax bills that they send to us. So by law, they're only can be taxed for the improvements, okay? So hopefully we can pick up where the land's being taxed by someone else. But the whole idea of a condominium is that the condominium unit owners only own the improvements. They do not own any land involved with the condominium regime. So that's the law. And I appreciate your email, because it was well thought out and I gave that thought. But I'm sitting there and this been hashing this over my brain for the last few months. I just said, I'm going to print three of these bills to see if it's in conformity with the law. So then it begs the question, who's being taxed on the land? So we need to look at those schedules to see if, like Crossman Communities or anybody else in there, where you only see a land tax and you don't see an improvement tax.
Right. And I'm going to come down to your office and show you where we have our open space has value on the land.
It's owned by the city.
But it's owned by the city. We're not taxed on it.
No, you're not.
Okay. But there's not any value on those properties that those condominiums are sitting on. And let me say this about Bay Vista Villas. Okay. The people buy the inside of the house.
Right.
Okay. From the 2x4s in is their property. The condo association owns the actual structures on the outside. They pay for the roofs. And I got this straight from the president from that condo association.
The different ones. I know where, for example, where I've got a residential condominium, it doesn't, they're not responsible for the windows, and that isn't the exterior
building. Right.
Individual property owners.
Right. When we had the tornado come through, and did all that damage to that particular condo area, the condo associations is. Insurance had to pay for that, not the internal people's insurance. That's why I'm having a problem with the fact they don't have value on the property.
I will tell you this, that if there, everybody is conforming with the law. They're not going to not tax people that they can get revenues from. I'm just telling you. As a matter of fact, in law, that it is what it is, okay? They're taxing land and improvements as provided by the law. Now, I can go study the condominium regime statute again for condominiums, but they're not missing anything. You may suspect that they are, but they're not. I'm just telling you, by the law, they're not doing it.
I don't trust anybody in the law.
Well, you know, I'm just telling you what the law is, and they're following the law. PDA's following the law. These parcels, these condominium regimes are being taxed according to the law. So we're not missing anything here. But I'll look further at it.
What's the legal definition of a condominium association?
Well, I mean, you're getting into some really detailed information.
Well, I just might want to become one if I don't have to pay property tax.
What?
I might want to become one.
Well, you still have to pay for the improvements.
You don't pay for the land.
No, you can't do that. Because your land has, you're not a condominium, and you're going to be taxed for the land and the improvements. You just can't turn yourself in. Look up the condominium statute.
I'm going to look it up.
All right.
We not only pay our house payment, we pay condo fees every month too. So that, you know, that is, that goes for our insurance, I mean, on the property. You know, it pays the water bill, it pays those sorts of things, you know. And
I think I looked at yours, and I think there might be an assessment to this proportionate. The proportion of what you pay, and correct me if I'm wrong, has to do with an assessment due to the value of the land that it's on. Do you have an invoice that for the individual owners for their dues?
I'm sorry, what did you say?
Do you have an invoice that it parcels out the line items for the amounts? You have line items for in your invoices, and then there's a total that they pay. Right.
We pay our HOA fees based on square footage.
Right.
That's what our.
That's the only line item. But didn't you just say that you were charging for other things? Or
no, no. I mean, our fees in out of our fees, the property management company pays insurance on the
right.
buildings. I mean, you know, everybody has to have their own insurance, but we have to insure the buildings.
Right.
We have to pay for the water.
Individual owners are paying a line item for water.
No. Right. Water is included. That's included.
All right.
And that when
is
they pay
it a flat fee?
It's
or
a fee based on
itemized.
It's not a line item fee.
Well, at any rate, I think it is what it is, and I think everybody's doing it correctly, but I'll look at it more closely. But then I'm going to look at tomorrow, or maybe tonight when I get home, just because I'm curious, is to look at all of those schedules. And this is what we get every... You sent it to me earlier, and I lost it somehow, or I think I put it into the file and I couldn't find it. But to see if there are any entities in those schedules. So like schedules, they just have different information. And then to see if anybody is being taxed just for land and not improvements. And then
there used to be. In 16 there was.
16 what?
2016.
There was what?
Either 2016 or 2017. There was three particular partial IDs. That had, and this is the reason why I brought it up, that had land value but no improvement value.
Yeah, and I saw one. You sent one of those things.
And then in somewhere between the reassessment and in every year since, that has just disappeared.
Yeah, but it was one of those things where a lot of properties were sold within one.
No. This was definitely just land.
Now here's one here. East Bay Villas condominiums. There's an address 4011 Pacelli Place. Property location 4122 Pacelli Place. The owner is East Bay Villas condominium. There's a parcel ID, and this is what I'll look at tomorrow. Parcel, parent, it says parent parcel, land and improvements total zero. All right. And then another one that Bob sent me, Trez Holding Development Group. That is the condominium owner of the regime, 120 Outer Loop, parcel. The parcel number, I'll look that up. This is the starting point. For example, acres, 3.7215
right.
acres. Land improvement total, zero. And then there's one for East Bay Villas condominium. Again, it's a parent parcel. 8.41 acres, again, land improvements total zero.
Then there's the business condo.
And that's the business condominium that is at the entrance of the city.
Well, I have another question, because I'm sorry, but I don't understand, what are land improvements?
Improvements are anything that's built on the land.
Like if they put a garage on their house?
No, it's your condos.
Huh?
It's your condos,
your unit.
Improvement.
Your building isn't built on your
That's
land.
The improvement. Your condo is the improvement.
Typically, in a piece of house where there's a house, the improvement is the house and the garage. So, in your instance, it's, in fact, there's a picture of, there are pictures for all of these particular units that I printed. So, there's Bay Garden, there's Trez, and here's East Bay Village. So, the improvements are what you see above the ground.
Are the actual buildings.
Right.
What you see above the ground level. That's the improvement.
Did I send you a copy of the master deed?
You did, okay. And I think within your one, and I've got that, I've told another one today. I talked to PVA at length today, and this one guy I talked to, he said, shit, I got to get back to you. I have no idea what you're talking about. So he consulted with someone else and came back. And he sent me one master deed, and I was looking at that. But while this meeting goes on, and I can report again tomorrow, but I'll look at those, that one master deed.
But the business condos has land value.
Yeah, but that is to your point. Crossing Communities owns the land. They don't own any of the. They would if they hadn't sold them. We're assuming for the. But if there were units and they weren't sold, they'd be responsible. So I expect all those units were sold. But to Bob's point, there are $34,510 Crossing Communities, which is located in Indianapolis, is paying our going rate. We should be getting a tax bill from them and a payment from them.
That's the only one we're getting.
All right. But I'll continue to look at this. It's like a quadratic equation.
Now, I'll take that back. We did not get a tax bill on that. We did not get any tax bill on any lands on any of the condos.
Well, there should have been. We need to look at the. That's the only thing I'll look at. I'll look at the.
Yeah, that partial ID there.
And that's what I was getting at before. If we just found a tax bill, and here's one right here. We should have got a tax bill to go to Crossman Communities, our tax rate times $34,510. So we need to look at that to see if there is. If not, I'm going to call up the Sheriff's Department and say, why didn't you generate a tax bill for this? But I'm going to look for other entities, okay?
The Sheriff's Department don't. That PVA generates the tax bills.
Whoever it is.
But you could check with the Sheriff's Department and see if any of those tax IDs are getting tax bills.
Right.
That partial IDs are getting tax bills.
But see, you have another issue here, too. It's not just ours, it's the county's.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Right. Anyway,
I'm not just doing it for us. I'm doing it for the county.
Well, hey, Steve, what's the acreage on that commercial piece of property?
This is in Bay Garden. Okay.
No. The one that the commercial condos on the corner when you enter. What's the acreage? Is it list the acreage there?
Yeah, at the entrance. Wouldn't want to know
the acreage.
Oh, it is 6.24150.
6 acres there. He's sitting on.
6.2.
Yes, yeah, 6.2. That is include. Yeah, that's including the building. Yeah, it goes all the way over to the daycare center and all the parking lot.
Give me that page menu.
It's not 6 acres.
Well, they say it's 6 acres. So
yeah, because green space is 6 acres.
Those are the ones Robert gave me. These are the ones I came
up with. And that's cheap. $34,000 is cheap for 6 acres.
Yeah, if you put that address in, you can find
it's underpriced.
You know, what is
underpriced? That's no more than double.
The PVA, I don't know. Can't find it. You have to put the parcel.
So try to buy an acre in East Jefferson County for less than $20,000.
Yeah.
Dan's going to look at this. Any questions? I'll keep throwing down.
So I have one more question, Steve. So commercially and residentially, are those laws different? If commercial condos versus residential condos?
I'm not an expert in condominium regimes. Trust me, it's complicated law.
But, yeah.
I will assure you that, well, you know, you don't assume anything in life anymore.
That's exactly right. That's the one thing I'll agree with Steve on.
But you're handsome, Robert. Do you agree with that?
So, but there would be no legal entity that would allow them to evade taxes on property. I mean, it's that simple, right? Somebody's paying property taxes somewhere, somehow.
I think everybody's paying the taxes.
Yeah, and they should be.
Yeah. I just don't think it's... All right, here's the other thing. This thing with... Let me switch gears here. I've done a lot of work on this.
Here, you have the back on you.
I've gotten fired up. I called the guy. You can sit back and theorize and let me go through all these steps. And I ultimately did after the guy who runs the
ground effects.
Ground effects. I got this mixed up here. Hold on. King Kyle. So I called her one day, and this receptionist, or this woman, answered the phone and said, I tell her, you have an email origin sentence and such. Well, let me talk to Kyle. And I said, Kyle, I represent the city. You've got some issues. I think you may be in violation of lighting and noise ordinances and stuff like that, and maybe not compliance with the development. When you did this in 2017. And he said, well, what would you like to do? And so I got a wall plan here that the residents would like for you all to construct. He says, well, it's not in the budget. And I said, well, and his attitude was like, who are you? Was dismissive kind of it. And I said, well, you know, it might be cheaper to build a wall than to pay civil damages for. And I did my research. So there's but there's all the case law right there on nuisance. I'm sorry, but nuisance, you know, where people get awarded damages for nuisance, typically noise or lighting. So, but you know, you might want to talk to your Canadian buddies about that. I never heard from them, but anyway, so then I go about it methodically. So I think I sent everybody an email, didn't I, that shows what I sent to one of the metro government entities.
Yes.
I'll leave it if you don't have it. And this kind of started a firestorm. And I got immediate response. They immediately sent someone out to test because someone said that there were some chemicals escaping. They sent me a report saying that it was not. And I'll tell you who, Mark Ballinger is really a good guy. He sent me some really good stuff. So I incorporated that. Here's his email talking about lights and the timing, the 24/7. So I sent that along too.
And can I say something about the EPA?
Sure.
First of all, there's a breeze out there every day during the day. So they send the EPA guy out there when there's absolutely no way they're going to get any kind of reading on any kind of chemicals,
right,
because of the fact they need to be out there at 1, 2, 3 o'clock in the morning,
yeah, okay,
when there is absolutely no breeze. Because I drive the city every night, but last night I had the windows open, and not last night, but the night before when it was more humid. And trust me,
this stuff's hanging in the air.
This stuff is hanging in the air. And as soon as I got near Ardline, it was like, whoa, there's a whole different. When you come down Bay Run and come around the corner, it was fine. But as soon as I hit around that Ardline all the way up to pretty close to Bay Run Court, that scent was there. And I mean, it's prominent. You can smell it.
Right.
So, just EPA running out there. As soon as I got that email, I said, this man is useless because he should have went out there at night. That's when it.
Well,
that's when you can smell it.
You need to tell me. You need to send me an email.
Well,
the timing of it.
I have to cool down.
All right.
Because I mean, I was human.
We'll find him and beat him up if you want.
Yeah.
That was a night out there 2 nights ago. I walked outside. I was standing in the driveway looking around all the time.
Do you guys need to, tell you what you need to do. For the next week, you guys monitor that. And let me know the time. Is it the same time of every evening?
That was the worst I ever smelled.
Well, it was humid. That's the reason why. It was just the humidity in the air was grabbing it and just hanging it right there.
There's supposed to be filters and all that stuff that doesn't even get ambient. You know, ambient means it's in the air. Like, you know,
right.
It is high with, you know, being around marijuana smoker. It's your ambient marijuana.
Well, trust me, I drove past the cars where the marijuana has been, and you can smell it. It gives me a headache. Right,
I'm all over this.
Yeah.
They got me upset. I'm all here before you, but let me kind of retrace my steps.
Okay.
I thought I sent this to everybody, but I didn't. I sent it to Bob. I represent the city of Weddington Hills. This went out on the 10th. And a number of city residents whose residential properties are adjacent to the northern boundary of the 12201 property. On a 24/7 schedule, ground effects is violated. The metro government noise ordinance, the land development code noise, and lighting regulations, and some of the land use restrictions imposed by metro government. Attached to some information, including emails authored by city resident Mark Ballinger. A ground effects employee named Kyle, informed me today that he had a number that he and a number of Metro employees, Jerry, Kip, and Mike, have been meeting to decide how many trees to plant behind the 12201 property. On whose land are the trees supposed to be planted? Why not require Bonifex to construct a sound and light barrier? Is this tree planting plan subject to the public notice requirement? If not, it seems odd to me that a quote, parentheses, dubious question mark, a dubious remedial plan is being discussed without city resident and city inclusion. Why, one might ask? Because they have heretofore been adversely affected by the noise, lighting, and chemical emissions which have been directed their way by the four motor company connected ground effects. I would also like to know if the initial land use development variance application plan was posted publicly. I would also like to know, I also wonder if MSD was the only utility vendor which was legally required to approve paving utility easement on city land. What about LG&E and connectivity vendors such as AT&T? Question mark. I propose that Mark Ballinger, Mayor Stone, and I should be invited to all future meetings between representatives of Metro Government and Ground Effects to assist in formulating an abatement plan. Abatement means to stop. Of immediate concern is to determine the type or types of chemicals which are escaping the subject property. This is when this nitwit goes out there and says, I didn't smell anything. It was almost the next day. Please also refer to page 2, case binding elements document, in particular numerical paragraphs 3, 4, 7, 8, 9, 10, and 12, all of which Ground Effects is violating. Ground Effects is in fact in part manufacturing and assembling automated parts and accessories. That was one of the things that they were permitted to do. Manufacturing and assembling automotive parts and accessories as permitted. The question is, does this include permission to add parts to Ford Motor Company manufactured truck bodies? The quality of the lives of adversely affected city residents have been severely diminished by the violative actions of Ground Effects. There are numerous reported Kentucky civil nuisance cases and criminal ordinance violation cases which should be considered by Ground Effects before making final plans. I will forward a wall design plan today or tomorrow. I haven't done that yet. So here's what happens. I send that in, and then I start getting these really nice emails saying, Steve, this isn't the right department. We're going to send it over to the other department. So what I find out now is that there was a recent meeting which included five residents where they're talking about putting a lot of trees in there. So were you there? Were you aware of it? What happened at this meeting?
Out in the street, we had meetings?
About the trees.
At that time, we just told them the trees don't work.
Okay.
Some of them have died.
All right.
We told him.
Yeah, and they said that part of it was of a freak tornado that came through there.
Everybody told him, trees don't work, we need a wall.
That's right. Okay, everybody there. Oh, and then this guy who I was talking to today, he was the guy for zoning enforcement. He was saying, yeah, we met with these guys, five residents about the trees. He didn't say that you guys objected to that. And I told him today, and you know, he was giving defense, but I said, look it, Mike, I'm not trying to put you on the defense, I'm just trying to protect the city land and the residents who live there. And he didn't say that you guys objected to that, but I told him in no uncertain terms that trees weren't going to help anything. I said the trucks were aiming their lights at it, right into the windows of the people there, they're playing their radios. I said that's a direct violation of the conditional use on doing that. But here's what is going on, is that did anybody, this guy also said that, that our council person was supposed to be meeting with someone out here. Has anybody, did you ever talk to the council person out here?
Marcus was there.
Marcus Clear came out that meeting where they were.
Was the guy you spoke to, was Lieutenant Brad from Planning and Zoning? He told me 3 or 4 days ago that he just received a letter from an attorney.
Me.
Okay, and he was going to review it and get back with me. I said, well, I'll give him 2 weeks.
Okay, but here's what's going on. What's our commissioner's name? He made notes. And
Marcus Flicker.
Yeah. Has anybody heard from Marcus?
He was at that meeting when they were all on the street.
Oh, was he there?
Now, Marcus didn't get to this.
This guy said that Marcus was supposed to contact.
He said, Metro Cal forgot with Kyle Mezanowski and wherever it was over there, and that's their plan to put trees up.
No, it's not that program.
Well, here's what's going to happen. Here's the good news.
Can I say something real quick?
Yeah.
My wife, I think, is the one that contacted the councilman's office and all kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And she, I think, had a phone conversation with Marcus and he said, I think the city of Worthington Hills has a good case. We're not going to do it. Marcus Whitaker said, I think the city of Worthington Hills has a good case.
And he's not going to do anything.
He's not going to do anything.
Well, you know, that's his job.
That's
he doesn't want to get in the hill.
He doesn't want to get...
They were called once a month.
He doesn't want to get Ford upset.
No, he doesn't.
So,
has anybody ever mentioned anybody...
But here's what's going to happen.
Is a daycare center...
There's going to be a big meeting with Metro government, different departments about this issue, about the lighting and about the sound. We've got them fired up.
The noise doesn't get the daycare center.
I'm not talking about the noise. I'm talking about the pollution.
Oh, well, the pollution.
Well, this is just kind of bad.
Yeah.
It doesn't smell that bad.
Kyle Mills also told my next door neighbor a week ago, there will not be any wall.
Well, it seems interesting.
I don't know how wall's going to keep out.
It will.
Vapors? No, that's not going to keep it out.
Vapors won't keep it out.
That's what I'm saying.
The lighting and the
vapors are only really at night.
Warmer than lights.
That's in total violation.
And on foggy days.
So anyway, there's going to be a meeting, and I left... Where's my notes? I was kind of doing it here, ready. Yeah, Mike Walsher was one who called me. He's the chief of planning enforcement. There's a woman who I called... left her a message, two messages. I was in and out of the office all day, and I was. But anyway, there's going to be a meeting, and I don't know when. But when I find out, I'm going to ask them if we could invite one of the residents, the mayor, possibly myself, to go with this meeting. But everyone I've talked to, I said, look, trees aren't going to do it. Just not going to do it. And, you know, they'll stifle some of the sound, but, you know.
Well, here's what gets me. On that list, in that development list, there is a mailing list. I showed you that's on page 88.
Right.
Okay, the city of Worthington Hills was not included in that mailing list. In 2014, when I was campaigning to be a commissioner, I remember everybody that I talked to, starting with Dan, okay, Dan, Mr. Small here, that place consistently had noise and light issues. So this has been going on since 2014 that I'm aware of. So it's one of those things that that's why I brought up the point that their improvements that they did over there is on the city of Worthington Hills land. It's basically an issue that now we have the right to bring it up to them. You didn't include us in these plans, because had we been included in those plans, I guarantee you I'd have told them about the noise.
Well,
and that's before they did the paving.
They're going to, instead of the trucks going north and south, which they are now, they're going to go west and east. But I'm at ground zero. You ask Dan, I'm at ground zero from that inspection bay. All the trucks go through that whole process. They come out that door right across from me. I get every truck that comes up
and get
all the lights,
plus
all
the stopping and honking the horns.
All the horns.
Everyone that comes up, they honk the horns. Anybody there, I'm coming through.
And it's just like an amphitheater.
I don't care if anybody there. I almost got run over last Tuesday night, Wednesday night, when I was doing the light check. A red light means nothing to these
people. Right.
It means absolutely nothing.
You need to run a public red light and not want to, they wouldn't have a red light on their property.
No, it's at Westport Road, at the entrance to their drive.
Right.
They come whipping around there and
well, let's get our cop to go out there and start issuing some tickets.
They can't. They speed down there and jump into their parking lot, and they won't let chase one down to the lot one night, and their guard down there stopped them. Would not let him on his lot to give that person a ticket.
Oh, leaving there too, Dale.
Yeah, yeah.
None of those, if they're running right
leaving,
then that's when it's.
None of those. They won't stop.
None of those.
They'll have to be.
Oh, because they're not for sale.
They're not. Yeah, they're actually processed still.
That's
the driver. They
will not stop for police officers. Well, how are they going to sign them if they can't catch them because they turn into their lot down there?
I'm talking about when they leave if they're running the red lights.
They don't stop when they go down West Park Road. They keep going even with the blue lights behind them.
Oh, that's bullshit.
Get Tate on the phone.
Well, no,
I mean, if a cop can't pull in front of them and stop them, I mean, that's ridiculous.
They won't.
There's a
bad end. I know it's bad.
I stopped three of them tonight because that's.
There's a criminal statute of not stopping when you're supposed to stop.
Dennis, tell
me. I've never heard that. The cop was behind me, but I don't care if I was a driver for. That means pull over.
Tate, what did Tate say?
I didn't hear the conversation about that, but I know what
he's saying. People aren't pulling over.
Well, Nate probably told me on the telephone call. He told me specifically that he was down there one night, and one of them run through that stoplight, turn right, run down there. He flipped on his lights. The guy just kept going, turned immediately left into that parking lot down there just at the end, they parked
from Collins Lane to Murphy Lane. It's one city block.
Yeah, it's not even to Murphy's Lane. It's before you get to Murphy's Lane.
It's 100 yards.
Who owns the parking lot?
Ford Motor Company.
They have a guard set up.
So they got a guard. If they go in, the guard stops
them.
They
put a barricade out there and stop these guys.
I didn't know Ford. I knew that that's probably was leased. I didn't know Ford Motor Company owned that property.
No, it's leased by another company, but those are still Ford trucks before they're sold.
Okay,
that's a contractor. It's a contractor driving those trucks. Well, I'm sorry. I'll have Tate call you.
Well, they finally got the light there at Murphy Lane and Westport Road. They finally got them they got a sequence to where they have to stop and they can't turn right on red like they used to, because I would be making a left turn off of Murphy Lane and they just flat come barreling out of there and you're the one that has to stop or get run over. But they finally did put the light in to where it's sequence now to where they have to stop and hold up there. They can't turn.
So that's not happening anymore.
No. That's out of the lot.
That's out
Lane.
Of it.
Okay.
That's out across
the road. Not at Collins Lane.
Why don't you come out to Worthington Hills one day and I'll take you on a tour?
Yeah, they're aggressive, Steve. No question.
Steve, right. I'm telling you right now.
It's crazy.
Okay, then I'll come out some night and then I'm going to videotape this shit. And
there you go.
Okay, all
right.
I'm going
to call up the new police chief and tell him what the hell's going on.
Hit the world.
That ain't going to help.
You might save a life.
That's as far as I'm going with that comment, too. Okay.
I'll call up Mike and say, what the hell's wrong?
Well, that ain't going to help.
Well,
they're letting drug dealers out, so that ain't going to help.
That light on the ground, it turns red. They don't care. Where's Tate? They're in a convoy. They're going out anyway.
That's why I stopped. They couldn't get in there because
that
is... Just fold it.
Okay.
Just fold it over.
I will.
See, you think there's a story, there's going to be a meeting?
There's going to be a meeting. Because of what I sent in.
About ground effects?
Yeah, with ground effects and different agencies of different government.
Okay.
Just fold it to the side.
I will, as soon as I find it.
Have we made them aware of the fact that we're on to them for paving city property?
Yeah, I also mentioned that. Right?
So maybe we determine where the wall's built. That's leverage.
Here is my question, and I've got her name here. I'm sorry, I just am taking some of the notes. But there's a woman who works in the same department, zoning enforcement. I left two messages for her. The second one was, I'm curious as to why MSD was the only local entity that signed off and agreed to permit paving of that easement. I said, that easement was just not for MSD, unless it is just the water easement and the sewer easement. But and that's what I'll have to look for. But if it's an easement for other utilities, then why wasn't LG&E and your phone companies? But I tell you what, it might very well be just a sewage and water drainage.
That's where the power lines are. There's power lines there that go across there. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and everything on Worthington Hillside of the power lines is what they paved.
Yeah.
But there's power lines that run right. They used to stop at their
okay,
parking lot.
They should have gotten LG&E. But that was the question I posed to them. And I'm going to, so this is page 88. I want to help you figure that out. Right here?
That's the mailing addresses.
Okay.
And you'll see Mr. Small's, Mr. Dan Small's name on there, along with Jim's. But right there in front of that page is what I think they the next page up, okay, is what I think they mailed them.
And do we ever find that letter they said at one time when we met with them?
Mark's got a copy of it.
Mark
Bellinger.
Okay, I'll get it from him. Well, anyway, they're going to have a meeting. We've raised some issues. They know that we're pissed. Excuse my language. That's a legal term. You can find that in Black's Law Dictionary. But anyway, I'm on top of this. I'm fired up.
Okay.
Or as things go on, I'm going to find out when this meeting is.
Al, when he talked to me, I asked him, he called me. I said, we need to talk. I need to come over to your plant, call, give me a day or a time.
Wait a minute, what happened?
It's most time, it's almost every night. You know, 3:30 in the morning.
But you called Kyle.
I called him all the time.
What's his last name?
Mezanowski.
Right, can you write, can you spell that for me?
If you were asleep at 3:30 in the morning, you wouldn't be bothering
me. Hey, as long as I get to watch Jerry Springer at 3 o'clock every day, I'm doing good.
I say break through all that.
Do you know how to spell his name?
Mezanowski, M-A-Z-A-N. I got my phone out in the car. I can give it to you right
now.
When we leave, you can give it to me.
I can give it to you. Oh, I'll text his cell phone. At 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning at home.
Here.
I don't care.
Here.
I leave a voice. I don't care. I leave voicemail messages on his office phone, and I'll text him.
Do you have my card?
No, sir.
Well, he can't sleep. I took the other phone.
You know what? It don't hurt me. It don't bother me at all. You got to ride him out.
We're going to get him.
I'm at ground zero. I get everything that comes out of that plant. Horns and lights.
No, easy would be to set up a camera system to document it all.
Mark Bellinger's already done that.
A wireless camera system?
Mark's already done it.
You can even put a
Mark's already done it.
With the noise meter?
Yes.
I got to meet with him.
He was supposed to come tonight. I called him.
And then my phone number. Send me that.
I called him.
That way you've got documented proof that it's too loud, too bright.
Oh, he's got night video of it.
Is your phone a cell phone?
Yes, that's my email address.
Okay,
that's
my cell phone.
All right.
Okay, I'm done.
Let's move along. All right. Our city clerk, Bev, mentioned that I had forgot to bring up the invoices and receipts and reimbursements. So we have all done signatures on the reimbursement and invoice overview. So I guess everything's fine. We got the right amount. I signed off on it, so it's been approved. Is that good enough for you, Ben?
Do you need to have a motion to approve?
No, because we've already got all the signatures on it.
Okay.
Okay?
Thank you.
No problem. All right. Before we get into the subject matter, is there any other old business that we need to talk about?
Well, this is probably, considering what has been discussed, this is minor, but I'm going to be delivering. Sylvia called me with the addresses of two more people that have moved in, and the welcome bags have been very, they really have enjoyed them. So I'll be delivering two this week, but do I need permission from the council, the commission to go, and I'd like to just go to Dollar Tree and get enough for 10 bags so I have it, or at least 10 bags so it's there.
Yeah, and I want to give you one of them tax exemption forms.
Yeah, I've still got one. I made I used it on the big one, but I forgot.
Well, it should have had balk on it, or it should have. There's two check marks where you don't have to take it every time.
Oh,
yeah, they keep it on file.
They will keep it on file.
The hard tree is not.
Well, I'll take one. I think I've still got a copy. I'll take one along just in case, but I'll tell them they have to keep it on file.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm telling you, if you just take one with you, it's going to be a lot easier.
Yeah.
Clear it on file. Yeah, just walk back to the office, search through a bunch of paperwork. Just take one with you and give it to them.
I'll just take one.
All right. Just keep making copies.
Okay. Okay, well, then I'm going to go ahead and replenish the little welcome bag area.
Yeah, we got to keep the new neighbors.
Do you have any neighbors there on Northumberland? Third house from Lunenburg, the rental house. There's new people in there, the blue house. It's behind me.
I'm a former Heritage County police officer. I never heard of that.
White pickup truck and a blue
stop
truck.
I agree. But
I haven't delivered one there.
You got to be inside of it.
What's the Harrison County? It's 38. What city is the courthouse in? 38. It's 26 or 28. It's got the two maple trees in front, next to the driveway.
Okay.
It's a third house from the corner of Lutenberg and third house from the corner of Lutenberg and Northumberland. Going towards your house.
Toward my house. Okay. I think I know which one would be there.
They got the white pickup truck and another car parked in there.
And then there's also, Sylvia called me, two on Bay Run, and then there's one on the corner of Lunenburg and,
Northumberland.
That's it. Northumberland and just before, what is the name of that street? I was going to say Middlesex. And that, yeah. The corner, the for sale, yeah, is sold.
Bay Run and Middlesex.
Yeah.
They hasn't been moved into yet.
Okay, so the people are still
there. Yeah, that's the current owners in there now.
Okay.
That sold sign just went up 10 days ago.
Okay, because I thought it said sold.
It has sold, but that...
But they haven't moved in yet. Okay.
Right.
Gotcha. Let me know when it changes hands and all.
That's 3807. And you can check it on PVA, and you'll see that it hasn't changed yet.
Okay.
Anything else? All right. And still on old business, we're getting subject matter of staff salaries came up, and Steve indicated he had something, and I have something else to bring up about it.
Yeah, I just, you know, Bev, to her credit, she mentioned something, and then it seemed to be it was going to be put off until next year because it's an election year, but I tell you what, she does an incredible job, and she objectively explained how many hours and what it would reduce to by the hour. And I remember at that training that we went to that I noticed there was a provision in some AOGs that permit paying an employee more. It only applies to employees, I think, not city elected officials. So there were some OAGs there, but within that one page, it seemed pretty sound that, and I'm not talking about myself tonight, I'm talking about Bev, so maybe give her a bump up. Maybe she can present, what, and Dan. She paid me $20 a minute, she's named Dan, I won't have to do it back. No, you did. I'm kidding. But no, I think that, you know, the city has improved. The thing that stands out to me is that, you know, we've got a sound, body, and we've got a tremendous clerk and a tremendous money man, and you know, you want to reward people like that. So anyway, it's up to you all. You guys have got the votes and stuff. I don't know what you would consider doing. If it would be an increase in salary, would it be 1099 income? I don't know. It only says
it has to be an increase in salary. You can't do 1099 on a W-2 employee. And here's the issue that we're up against, so that we can get this down to earth. We passed the budget in June, and in that budget, those numbers are fixed. And not knowing what you're wanting to ask for, or what you're expecting, first off, the position is a salaried position, and salaried positions are what they are. But the budget, in order for us to make any changes to the salaries, because that number on salaries is very tight. There's not too much leeway. I mean, it's only a couple $100, and that's only because we never know what we're going to get for expenses from the payroll company. But it stays in line. So in order to change any kind of incomes, the city would have to do an amended budget.
Right.
Because we have to stay within the budget terms. So that means somebody's going to have to give something up to make up and increase anything in the salary ranges.
But if you amend, I don't know, I'd have to look at that statute, but it seems to me that if you amend the budget line item in the total budget,
you still in our budget ordinance. Okay, it mentions we have an expense item called salary expense.
Right.
Okay, so that is set.
But can you amend it?
It can be in, the whole ordinance has to be in. Yeah, we still have to. Yeah, we have to basically move something around from the other line items to get to where we want to go on the salaries.
You can't amend the.
You can amend it, but you have to take some expense.
You couldn't fund it from, like, you know, what we have in the bank. It has to be. Okay.
I think it has to be in current year income.
That's what?
The budget.
Yeah, because this is not this is what you use the, like, the carryover. When we was doing the carryover, we were doing the carryover because they had gotten 5 years behind on the audits. Okay, same thing. You can do carryover. We can take something from previous years for something like additional snow removal money, because that's unknown. Okay. But we can't arbitrarily go in and just basically, just in my opinion, I don't know, but just in my opinion, we can't go into previous years to give a non-emergency arrangement. Huh?
If it's a budgeted item on the budget that's been turned into the state, whoever gets it, and you can't differentiate, you can't.
You just have to borrow some other line.
Right.
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 But then the question is, if you have money from, say, the road fund,
you can't use the road fund.
You can't use the road fund.
Whatever. From, I mean, what? You know,
what about snow?
I'd be more than glad to give you all part of my salary. I make $8.
You can stop right there, Linda.
Day.
You can stop, Linda, because you cannot change a commissioned and elected officer's salary, period.
The point I'm trying to make is this. We knew what we were going to get paid when we took this job. Now, I never felt like, when I was out here tromping around with LG&E and doing all this stuff, I never felt like I wasn't getting paid enough. It never occurred to me to say, you know what, I deserve more money. I deserve more than $8.53 a day. And I make more than Carol and Dennis because I turn in my mileage when I do my light checks. And I got scolded for turning in my mileage. So the only thing I've got to say is, if $13 an hour, I mean, I don't know, I can't even fathom that not being enough. And if you're working more than 40 hours a week, then maybe you can find some way to make your job easier, you know, do something different. I don't know. But that's just the way
was any of that timed down that you were calculating time at Steve's?
No, I haven't been at Steve's in
okay.
a long time. I will tell you this. She's done civil. When we were doing some of the stuff on renters and taxes and stuff, she was in my office. But she also worked for me for doing stuff for my law practice, typing and doing stuff.
Yeah, but even when she's down there doing city business, it's still on you.
No, I pay for all that.
I know. I'm just saying, it's not...
She probably knows what she's doing. You know?
Right.
There's this whole thing about economy and scale and efficiency. I mean, she is that. So, anyway, I just threw that out. I told her I'd do it.
I know. I'm just bringing it up. I was just bringing up the fact that we have a set budget, and that currently is where it's at, unless we can, over the next, whatever, okay? I don't know...
You know,
we haven't got into winter, and I expect snow this year. Okay.
Man-made climate change. I mean, you know.
Oh, garbage! Don't even bring that up. We still have the utilities budget is one of those things. We had an increase in Rumpke that we didn't even know about till after we had finished the budget. So it's going to be really, really tight. And again, unless we can find some way to take money from another category, I don't know how it can be done. But I wanted to bring up that we have a set budget. And
the citizen who's come to these meetings for lots of years, I know how hard you all must work. You know, Bev and Dan... You know, all of you, but their jobs are, I think, different. You guys have a little more flexibility, maybe. I'm not sure.
Here's the thing about the jobs, okay? We don't have set hours.
Right.
Okay? And I know that things have to get done, but still you have your own personal life. And we let the people have their own personal life. They get to do whatever they work their schedule into when it's best for them. And I think that's a benefit in itself. It's not an 8-to-5 or a 9-to-5 or whatever job. They can basically, everybody in here can work their position at the hours that best fits them.
I guess maybe you have very specific jobs, but Dan and Bev have to do all of you. Does that make sense? I mean, they have to. But I also know the budgets can't be changed. You can't, especially for a city budget like this. You just can't decide you're going to change a budget. So. I think you probably need to wait till we do a budget for next year, and then.
Well, that was that. I know this is not going to sit well with anybody.
Right.
Okay. It's one of those things. I wish it really had come up in private, but here again, it got put out in the public last month, so we're dealing with it that way now.
Well, it is a public thing.
I know, but it could have been discussed between Dev and I.
The responsibilities have been put on people since they started. So the job that they agreed to when they started is not the job.
Well, I can understand that, too.
Fair. Right.
I can see that. I mean, you know, when we first started, it was Bev was going to the post office twice a week and doing the banking. And I realize she has a lot more now to do.
Yeah, and that's another thing that, and Bob's being overcautious about still, because you know, there's everybody in this room, and we're trusting you, like you need to go to the mailbox with two people. I mean, you know, that might be what some people do, but I don't think it's necessary.
Yes, it is.
Why?
Because.
Why?
One person can do something.
There's no law that says that. We don't have an
okay, let me before you go any farther.
All right.
There's never been in this city an audit done where there was no recommendations and findings. And the reason why is because we're finally segregating duties. We finally have a means to verify that when we get the mail, two people are getting the mail and two people are seeing what's coming in. There was a situation that come up just this year. How many duplicate tax payments have we gotten so far?
About 20.
Okay? All right. Not saying it's happened, but I brought this scenario to his attention.
Whose attention?
Dan's. If only one person's going to the bank or to the mailbox, okay, and they're privy to duplicate payments being made on the taxes, and that person's in a management position that can sign contracts, there is nothing stopping that person from opening up a separate bank account and depositing those checks that they know is duplicated.
In whose name is this new account being put in?
And not showing it to the city.
I think the question, and you said whatever you want to do, but is that part of the audit?
Yes, it's called segregation of duties.
And that's in the audit.
Mm-hmm. And we did not get written up in 2019 for it.
It's common sense.
It's common sense because one person.
Maybe someone other than Barbara needs to do it then.
Well, Dennis and I do it on Friday every week.
Yeah.
You know? And Bev and I go on Tuesdays.
That's all I want to say.
All right. We'll. I just, you know, again. It's not unresolved. I mean, it's basically it's money, and we have to have a way of getting there. And I don't see it happening until next spring.
Can we put forth an ordinance that changes that, like put the cost of living raise or something?
But then that's not effective until the new year. So Bev's looking at a year from January.
Well, it's resolved at that point, right? The money's had to change until the budget.
That would be.
Until next July, but
can we agree on something prior to that?
No,
we just do it during the budget period next year.
Right.
Okay.
That's all you do.
I
understand, and I have to be the devil's advocate.
No, that's all right. If that's what it is.
I mean, I was looking at when it was brought to my attention. I'm like, how do I do it? I got no budget to do it.
Well, you're some budget. You know, you're some budget. You can't have to borrow from another line item. I guess if you get through, it would be effective if you change. It would be effective for standards. Now would be around fiscal year.
Yeah, be next year. Yeah, because we can work it into next year's budget. But
if you get through February and you got a bunch of money left in the icy snow budget, maybe.
Yeah, at that point, if it comes March, you know, we could do it. We may have to do an amended budget anyhow because of the utilities, and we may have to take, if we got any snow money left over like we did this last couple of years, yeah, at that point we could probably do it, and that way it's already gone. But right now we're coming up on
the result. I mean, now we're all informed.
If you're gonna do that, if that scenario comes up, I would run it by the auditors first, because that'll be a red flag if you have this extra money and all of a sudden the salaries go up.
Well, it would go up. It would not only just go up for that year, it would continue on.
Right. But
I understand. Good point. Good point, Judy.
I know budget.
Thank you.
I know budget.
All right. Is there anything, Bev, would you like to add anything?
No, I have nothing to say. Thank
you. All right. Thank you. All right. We're moving along. New business. Any commissioners got any new business they want to bring up? All right, it's quiet. Okay, here's the thing that I've got a couple things for new business. First off, open records request. We need to probably resolve this. And I talked to Linda about this. Last week, Dan got a request through an email for information about all the commission members and all that staff and elected officials. Just looking for their name, their address, their contact phone number, their email address, you know, when they did first come on, they looked real innocent.
Just tell them to go to Frankfurt. We file a report.
Yeah, I know. But you can't do that, okay?
You can. It's a matter of public record sometimes.
Well, I know. And I told them, all I'm saying is, I answered the email, and within 48 hours, we started getting spam. Okay? It wouldn't have mattered if they went to Frankfurt or whatever, we've still gotten it. So, what I have looked into.
Did you give them my information?
It's in Frankfurt.
But did you give it to them?
I gave them the attorney at City of Worthington.
Oh, very good. I never used that.
So. Yeah, but it, guess what? That email transfers already all the way over to your email. And I give them not your phone number, but the city's extension for you, which transfers to your phone. Okay?
You don't answer that phone either.
Yeah. So here's the thing. We are allowed, under statute, we can either accept emails for open records request, or we can make it a policy not to. But they have to either give it to us personally or send it to us in the mail. And I think
I thought they had to be requested in the mail.
No, you have the option of doing email, and we have done the email. So my suggestion is we pass and do a policy of not accepting email open records request.
I think it's effective.
Okay. Now, that doesn't apply to our commercial open request for our tax information, okay, that we make them do a CORC, as we call it, okay? This pertains to other information. Okay, that has to be requested in writing, via mail or personally giving it to one of the members, because you can't get around that part. Email is an option that the city may offer. It's not required. So my suggestion is we take and make it policy not to accept email open records request. So we need to probably make that a municipal order or something, or somehow put it in the record that we only any open records request get through email, they're replied to as required to be written or handed to us. Okay. But I wanted to get that out on the table and see if there's anybody that has any other suggestions. It's awful quiet.
So you have the email address from which that was...
Yeah, but he had... I did not check. He did not include a phone number.
But we have his email address.
His email address may not be... His email address went back to something. I'm not sure what it went back to.
I've been verified. I can put in addresses, names, and stuff to try to find out who they are.
Yeah, we got the email address. I've got the email address.
You can give me that email address.
It's a Gmail account. Oh, wait a minute. No, it's not a Gmail account. It was...
Just get it to me.
It's something education something. That's why
I answered it.
You responded
to their email address.
I responded to their email address.
And now they are sending spam because you did that.
Right.
So someone was checking that email address.
Guys, when they do phishing, they can use your email address to send it to Steve. If he opens it, they get into his contact list. They'll send it to him and me and Bob. If we open it, that's how they. That's so. It's the email address.
Okay. Right.
Okay.
Useless. Because it's probably a legitimate email address of someone that has no idea. They just inadvertently opened an email they shouldn't have opened.
Did he give a name?
He gave a name and he gave a physical address, but he did not give. But I did not check the physical address.
Yeah, I want that information.
Okay, I'll send it to you.
All right.
So, Steve, do you think we need to make some kind of motion or?
Well, I think that the statute says that in any form, so I think if you pass an ordinance, I just think it's a policy, if you pass an ordinance, then I think it's against the law. If you look at it, open records.
No, if you look at it, it says email's optional. You don't have to allow email.
I'll check the statute.
Just check that and we'll get into it next month?
Yeah, I will.
Okay. All right. Halloween. Now, I don't care about COVID-19. I want Halloween. Okay? Even though I don't give out candy, I think the kids need to have it. Okay? They're tired of sitting in the house.
You
they need to be doing something.
Kid, you know that.
Huh? I didn't stop. I was a teenager. So anyhow, Halloween does, the 31st does follow on a Saturday. All we probably need to do is figure out what hours we want to have for it. And I can put it on the website. But I think it's important that we do this. Okay? I mean, they're wearing masks anyhow. So if they want to go around as doctors and nurses, we've got a lot of doctors and nurses this year. Okay. I have down 5 to 8 p.m. because in this will be before daylight saving time goes away, so it will be dark, getting close to 5 or 5:30. Okay. And, you know, I think the next day is actually time change. Okay? So, my suggestion is we do either 5 to 8 or 6 to 9. I like 5 to 8.
I like 5 to 8 for the little ones.
Right. And because I don't want them knocking on my door because my freaking lights won't go off. So, 5 to 8, is that everybody's in agreement for that?
Yeah. Simple. 6:43 p.m. is sunset.
Okay, well, good. That means it'll be getting dark at 6. So we get the little ones out while it's still light, and the overgrown teenagers can be out after dark. So be careful. All right. So do I hear a motion to do 5 to 8 on Halloween?
I'll make that motion.
Thank you, Commissioner Bill.
And I'll second it.
Thank you, Commissioner Campbell. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? All right, it's unanimous. 5 to 8, Halloween, October 31st. That's all I have. And so we have the commissioner report next. Who wants to go first?
Well,
all right, Commissioner DeVille, have at it.
This is August the 19th through September 15th tonight. Did weekly street light checks. No allergies to report. I returned 2 phone calls about garbage collection and met with a constituent who had a complaint about a new property owner who had piles of cardboard in their front yard. The problem was resolved when the homeowner took the cardboard out of his yard and, well, he took, actually moved it from the curb and put it in the front of his car. So what happened to it after that, I have no idea. I want to thank Mayor Stoneham for his help. A couple of weeks ago, I notified the commission that during the light check, I noticed there was a mattress down in 11,008 Lunenburg Court, just on the curb, and I was going to send a postcard to tell him what they needed to do, but he was nice enough to print off a couple of copies of the protocol and put one behind your flag on your mailbox and another one on the mattress, so I appreciate you doing that.
Thank you.
And help me. That's all I have.
Okay. Commissioner Campbell, you want to be next?
Okay.
What's his last name?
Mike, I just want to comment. The welcome bags have been gratefully received by new residents. Information such as city website, which includes the phone numbers, names of city commissioners and employees, time and location of city meetings, rumpy garbage guidelines, etc. I also ask if they have any questions and urge them to call if and when they need information. So on August 24th, I delivered welcome bags to the new residents at 4114 Northumberland Drive and 4117 Northumberland Drive. And on September 10th, I received a call from Sylvia Laporte informing me that two new residents had moved in on Bay Run Drive, and I will be delivering their welcome bags this week. And I will purchase that ends it. So then I will purchase.
Okay.
Purchases also.
Okay.
For further ones.
Thank you, Commissioner Campbell. Commissioner Hall, you want to go next?
I can.
Deb, I'm going to send this to you as soon as I get home tonight.
Okay.
Mowed the primary property on 823, 830, 98, and 914. Mowed and weeded the secondary properties 822, 829, and 97. Under general cleanup, pulled weeds at the front entrance and pick up the trash on 818. Removed large diseased cherry tree from Lunenburg Holding Pond on 823. 97, the large green space, trimmed weeds and ditch behind Pulaski Court and around trees and fence lines between Mecklenburg, Queen Anne's Court, and the Ray Court. Trimmed weeds on fence lines and around trees, Lunenburg Drive Holding Pond. Raked out tree stump debris and planted an oak tree. So if you haven't seen that, that's all done up there on the Lindenburg Holding Pond. Also trimmed weeds in the ditch behind Pulaski Court and around trees. Queen Anne's Court on 825 and Rustburg Court, trimmed around trees, cut back more bittersweet and poison ivy vines. And 820, weed man came out and conducted late summer fertilization on Boynton Court and the flagpole. It's 4 of 6 applications. On 914, I contacted them to let them know that the nut sedge on both the flagpole and Boynton's not been killed off yet. So they're going to pay some attention to that in a couple weeks when they come back out, which means spray again. On 9/13, I spoke to Sawyer Smalls. He's basically ready to start his Eagle project. So there's going to be some work done over behind Lorraine Court to get that property ready. And we'll be moving forward with that probably late October, early November.
Okay. Thank you, Commissioner Hall.
I have a question.
Yep.
So I'm just going to answer you. The other night when I did my light check, which was around 10:30, I noticed that are the sprinklers coming on at night?
Yeah.
Good. That's a good idea.
Yeah.
Coming on at night.
It's about 25 minutes at 10:30, yeah. About 3 days a week.
Yeah. Good.
Okay.
I have a question. All of that you just listed, isn't that what your company does?
Some of it.
As opposed to what you do as a commissioner? So well, do you really need to read all that to us?
Still being done.
Of what your company does, though?
What's
I'm just asking.
I mean, that's the way it did in the past. I don't care. Either way. Do you need me not to read it?
I don't know. They're reading what they do as a commissioner. Of course, they don't have a contract.
Well, if I wasn't both, I'd be reporting to someone that was that.
Yeah, he just would be reporting that this got done for the city.
Yeah.
Okay. Did you get that little piece of land trim?
No, not yet. On Lunenburg?
Yeah, on Lunenburg Court because it's had the street side.
Yeah, no, I saw that. I saw it.
Just quit putting the I in there and saying Maximus did this. And then whatever company did this.
Well, you want me to, well, I don't say hi anywhere. Just the thing,
and you just say it was done, getting done.
Yeah. Large green space trim.
Yeah, okay.
Old weeds. I mean,
okay.
These are the things
you
that
know,
happened.
If somebody different was in the meeting and didn't know, they would think she checked the lights and you did all these other things.
And you're a labor.
You know.
Yeah, because I'm just hard working.
Because it's not snowing.
Yeah, right. You didn't do anything.
Yeah,
wait till the winter. I won't be doing a thing.
Yeah.
All right, Commissioner Metcalf, it's your turn.
I drove the city on multiple occasions. Mayor Stoneman and I went to the storage locker on one occasion. Mayor Stoneman and I lowered the flag half staff on 9/11. And Mayor Stoneman and I went to the post office each Friday. Not a lot happened other than that this time.
When's the flag supposed to go back up?
We've already got it back up.
Because I've never found a day to put ours back up.
Well, I took it down 11. You know, I don't know.
Okay.
I just put it back up the next day, whether right or wrong. All right. Thank you, Commissioner Metcalf. All right. Is there anything else that anybody would like to say before we adjourn, get a motion to adjourn the meeting?
Is it dark outside?
Not yet.
Always leave here and go do the light check. I have to much work to get dark.
There's been so efficient the last couple months.
I tried to drag it out.
Could you drag it out?
Well, I don't want to drag it out anymore.
I'm just kidding.
I want to get home before I trip over the dogs. They come down the steps to greet me, okay? And if it's dark, I can't see them. One's completely almost black. He's only got little tips on him. And
that's an accident.
And he's half blind to start with, so.
Okay.
All right, if there's nothing else, do I hear a motion to adjourn the meeting?
Make a motion to adjourn the meeting.
Thank you, Commissioner Hall. Do I have a second?
I'll second it.
Thank you, Commissioner Campbell. It's 8:25. Thank you very much. Y'all have a great evening.